Good morning. Have you ever failed? I've failed several times in my life, but let me share with you about when I was in grade 2. I did not do very good. My biggest challenge I had was reading. Grade 2 was a challenge, but I'm sure I felt I was doing okay, that I would make it through. The teacher knew better and had determined I was not ready to move on to grade 3. She knew I was lacking in many areas. I wasn't going to turn around during the last couple of weeks of school. She filled out my report card, and on the back she wrote that I was to repeat grade 2. I can't remember, but I'm sure I thought all was good and I was expecting to move on to grade 3. That is why the teacher called my parents to let them know that they would be able to prepare me for the bad news. I had failed. Now, I need to tell you the rest of the story. Way back then, we had to write provincial tests. Just days before the end of the year, we wrote a provincial grade 2 arithmetic test. I aced it. I got 100% on it. Because of getting 100% on the test, my teacher was forced to move me on to grade 3. I still have the report card where you can see that the teacher had erased that I was to repeat grade 2 and wrote I would be starting grade 3 in September. Truthfully, I thought I had done what I needed to do to complete grade 2 so I could move on to grade 3. Yet in reality, the truth of the whole thing was I really did fail grade 2. This is similar to the Laodicean church. They thought they were doing good. The church thought there was no problems, and they were getting a passing grade. Yet listen to what Jesus declared to them in Revelation chapter 3 and the last half of verse 17. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus is saying, church, you think you have it all together, that you're doing great, but you don't even realize that the reality is that's not true. You're not doing good. You are failing. You see, the church didn't deny the truth. They were deceived about the truth. They didn't even see or realize the truth of their spiritual health. When we are deceived, we might not even recognize the truth, even when we are doing wrong. In the same way, the Laodicean church was deceived about their spiritual state, we can be deceived about our spiritual state. We can think we're doing amazing. We can think that we are soaring above the clouds, when in fact, we haven't even left the ground. We're still on the runway. Maybe you haven't even left the gateway. This deception can hold us back from the great things God has for us, both now and in eternity. So how do we avoid deception and realize our true spiritual health? Well, let's take a look at what Jesus has to say to the Laodicean church. Listen to what Jesus says here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. To really understand what Jesus is saying here, we need to look at the city of Laodicea. Laodicea was situated between two cities, Hierapolis was 10 kilometers to the north. Colossae was 17 kilometers to the east. Laodicea was a very wealthy city. It was known for its banking and gold exchange. They had a booming clothing industry and were known for their black dyed wool and textiles. Along with these, they were known for their medical achievements with their well-known eye salve and their famous medical school. It seemed that Laodicea had everything it could possibly want. Well, that is everything except one thing. They did not have a fresh water supply. The church had to bring its water in by an aqueduct. The city of Hierapolis had hot springs, which were good for healing. And the city of Colossae had cold drinking water, which could refresh those who were thirsty. Laodicea's water came from the south by aqueduct, and by the time it arrived, it was lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Even worse was the fact that this lukewarm water was filled with minerals and sediment. It tasted bad and caused many to just spit it out when they tried to drink it. In a sense, the water was useless and not really any true benefit to anyone. The church of Laodicea would have understood Jesus' reference to hot and cold water. They would have known Jesus wished the temperature of the church was hot, like Hierapolis's water, so that healing flowed from the church. Where Jesus could have been saying that he wished that they had a refreshing ministry to those around, just like that cold, refreshing water from Colossae. Yet, they had nothing to offer their community. The church, as the church, they were of no benefit to those around, to others. Listen to what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. The lukewarm mineral-filled water repulsed people so much they spit it out. It was useless. It was no good for healing. It was no good for refreshing. It was worthless. The church had become useless, like the water, and made Jesus so repulsed that he says he is about to spit them out. The church of Laodicea had so much to offer with being part of such a wealthy city, but it seems that none of it was being used to reach out or to help those in need. What they had become useless. They had so much, but it wasn't being used for the kingdom of God. No, it was being used for the kingdom of self. Just like the church in Laodicea, most in the church today, especially in the Western society, have so much. The question is, which kingdom are we investing in? Are we investing our finances, our time, our giftings into God's kingdom, where moths and rust cannot destroy it, can't even affect it? Where actually the rewards of our investment are eternal? Or are we investing our finances and time and giftings more into the kingdom of self, where eventually it will be burned away as grass, hay, and wood? Are we using the blessings which God has poured out upon us to share the power, the truth, and the presence of Jesus with others? When we start to become useless, when what we have is not being used for the kingdom of God, then we are starting to be deceived about our spiritual health. Another telltale that we are deceived about our spiritual health is when we're starting to think we are self-sufficient. When we think we can do it all on our own. I mentioned earlier that church in Laodicea was wealthy and that the city was wealthy. In fact, the city was so wealthy that in 60 AD, the entire city was devastated by an earthquake, basically wiped out. The city was so wealthy that it rebuilt the city without any assistance from Rome. In fact, I read this past week that they even denied the request of Rome giving them some support. They did it all on their own. They didn't need help from Rome. The picture here is, just as the city thought they didn't need Rome for anything, the church had gotten to a point where they started thinking they didn't need God. Listen to the first half of Revelation 3:17, where Jesus quotes the church. You say, I am rich. I've acquired wealth, and I do not need anything. That's a pretty arrogant statement. You say, I am rich. I don't need anything. I don't need you, God, as I have got it all covered. That is where Samson was in his thinking when Delilah cut off his hair. We read in Judges 16:20, then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Samson had defeated the Philistines so many times before that he just started to take it for granted, relied on his own strength, and did not even realize that God had departed from him. I'll just go out like before. I'll just do what I did before. I can do it all. Jesus tells us in John 15:5, that we need to remain in the vine, because without remaining in God's presence in the vine, we can do nothing. You see, we start to feel self-sufficient over time. It doesn't happen just one day, but over time we start to feel self-sufficient that we can do it. And we start to take God for granted. We start to prioritize things before God. He's not our first go-to. We start to feel that we can handle it. And instead of going to God first, we just go and do it on our own. God, I'm doing fine. Everything's good. I am rich. Comes an optional snack instead of our daily bread. When God's house becomes a vacation home instead of our primary residence. When God's presence becomes optional instead of essential. Let me just read that one more time. It's so good. We start to know that we're slipping into self-sufficiency when God's word becomes an optional snack instead of our daily bread. When God's house becomes our vacation home instead of our primary residence. When God's presence becomes optional instead of essential. We need to realize that Jesus doesn't add to or improve our lives. He is our life. Jesus is not optional. He is essential. We need him 24/7. If we don't think this is true, if we become self-sufficient, then we are deceived about our spiritual health. Jesus has no commendations for this church. He doesn't list one positive thing that he sees in the church of Laodicea. You might think when we have messed up that far, that bad, Jesus would just turn and walk away in disgust. Well, if you're so rich and you think you can do it on your own, well then go ahead, have at it. But that's not the Jesus we serve. He doesn't abandon us. Listen to Revelation 3:18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Jesus is saying here, here is what I propose you do. Come to me. Come and buy from me. Come into my presence. Come to me and get true riches. Riches that have a lasting impact for all eternity. Come to me and get clothes. White clothes that are pure, the white clothes that are Jesus' righteousness, which cover our shame, our nakedness, our sin. Come to me and get salve for your eyes so you can see clearly, so we can see the true spiritual health of our being. Unfortunately, we try to get God to agree with our assessment of our spiritual health. Instead of coming to him and asking him his assessment of our spiritual health and what he thinks we need. And why is this? Well, I think it's because we're fearful of what he might say. We're fearful that he might say we're failing or we've messed up or we've done this. And look, you're on your own and I can't help you anymore. But look what Revelation 3:19 says. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Jesus corrects and disciplines who? Everyone he loves. There is no need to fear if we are willing to learn and apply his correction to our lives. If we are diligent to work through it with him and not be indifferent. Jesus loves each one of us and goes on to say in Revelation 3:20, and this is such a common verse, we all know it. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The church of Laodicea had his name, but not his presence. Jesus was on the outside looking in. Yet he says, here I am. We can take this verse out of context and think that Jesus is only talking to the sinners here, and he's standing at the door of their hearts. And the unbeliever, he's wanting them to open the door of their hearts to him. And that's true. That's what Jesus does. He stands at the door of everyone's heart, and he wants them to open the door. But yet, in this particular verse, Jesus is not addressing the unbeliever. He's addressing the believers, the church of Laodicea. He is speaking to those who are deceived about their spiritual health, to those who think they have got it all together but don't, to those who think they can do it on their own but can't. Jesus is saying, here I am. I am still here. I have not abandoned you. I have not forsaken you. All is not lost. I am standing and knocking. If you will listen, if you will hear my voice calling to you, and you will hear my knocking, when you come to the door, open it, and I will come in and be with you. Jesus is saying that we will have a meal together when we open the door. He'll come in and eat with us and we with him. In other words, we'll be in his very presence. And he will feed us physically and spiritually. And we will see our spiritual health grow. Jesus is writing to the church of Laodicea in this portion of Scripture of Revelation. He's not saying that this is the spiritual health of every church and every Christian. Yet, as we read this, or any other part of the Bible, we need to take time to reflect and listen to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Is he commending us for what we're doing? Or is he wanting to correct us in his love? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, another illustration of what the church is to be like. We're not to be an indifferent church. We're not to be a church that is so wealthy and doing so good that we just forget about the outside world, and we just become a club and just manage on our own. Lord, we need the spirit. Lord, we need to look at our spiritual health and check it out. Father, we need to don't want to become a church that is self-sufficient and think we've got it all made and we don't need anything. In fact, we don't even need you. We can do it on our own. Forgive us for those times when maybe we've thought that. When we haven't come to you and sought you first. Lord, help us to check our spiritual health. And Father, we thank you that you correct and discipline us. And please, Father, continue to do that when we walk outside of where we should be. Lord, we want to be the church that you've called us to be. We've looked at seven churches, and there's been instruction for us in all these churches on how we, as a church corporately and as a church individually, need to be. Lord, may our ears always be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. May we hear what the Spirit is saying to us as the church. And may we be obedient to what we hear. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.